Amen. Wow. That was a mighty encouragement. Thank you so much for leading us in that. So I've discovered that when I speak and I'm nervous, I sniff a lot. So my apologies. I don't know what it is that makes my nose run when I'm nervous. And I'm only nervous because I want to do it right, you know. So don't mind me if I pause for a second. I thank you that you're with me and not against me. This is also a blessing. Reading through that passage, it's quite long. I wanted to read it in its entirety because I believe it comes as a whole package. And there are a few things that we could look at, and there are a few things that I could have picked out of the verse, the chapter, that we could have looked at. And I think it's one where it's like, okay, what's he trying to convey as a whole? Because there is a list there that's quite strong. And it's not wrong. It's right. It's the word of God. And I could have chosen to focus on the do's and the do nots, and there's a list of, oh, I'll make sure that you do and you don't. And I just didn't feel like, not that I'm avoiding that, because I'll happily sit down and talk to you about righteousness and morality and what the Lord expects for us in regards of our conduct. But I actually don't think that that was the driving impetus of what Paul is saying when he wrote to the Colossians. I believe, and I'll stand on this, and we can talk about it if you want afterwards, but I think it's an identity issue. I think this is an identity. So today we're going to be talking about our identity in Christ, who we are. And if we are this, then don't do that. And if we are this, then you should do this. But I think it's so much more than just the external conduct as it is. I think it's, well, we'll get into it. But I just wanted to start off with that because it's easy to think and read that passage, or maybe for me, I can't speak for you, but here I am condemned again, and I stand up against this list that I certainly can't keep, or at least I don't feel that I can keep. And, oh, right, okay, yeah, I got angry. I always use the car as a reference for this, so it might say something about me, but here I am angry again in the car or shouting at my daughter. But I think it's more about who we are. And who we are comes first. And the other part comes second. But unless you get the first part right, the second part, the do's and the don'ts, actually is more of a burden than it is a freedom. And the Bible's very clear in that he says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He hasn't come to put chains on us. He hasn't come to bear us down. He's come to set us free. So it starts with this verse, and I think this is what's important. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. So he's talking to us, he's talking to the Colossian church. Since then, as if they knew this already, you've been raised with Christ. Raised with Christ. How have I been raised with Christ? How does that work out? So I'm going to ask a very obvious question, and please shout out. What type of church is this? It's on the name of the building. Enfield Baptist Church, absolutely. What does baptism teach us in its very simple forms? It's a picture of us going down, dying to our sin and to our old life, and then being raised, hopefully with joy. Hopefully we weren't held under for too long. To be then raised in new life. So if you consider yourself not just a Baptist, but a Christian, because I believe in Jesus' finished work on the cross and his resurrection, I then am obedient to him, say, when he says, you must believe and be baptized, and that is symbolic of the spiritual truth that I died in Christ and I've been raised to newness of life. So, I've been raised with him. Colossians chapter 2 verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were once raised through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Since then you have been raised with Christ. This is the underpinning. This is the truth, the spiritual truth that we stand on. If you've been raised, we've been given a new identity. We've been given a new name. And this is hard, I think. I think it's hard because we live in a physical, fallen, earthly world. We live in physical, fallen, earthly bodies. I have a physical, unfortunately fallen, earthly mind. But the Lord is telling us constantly through Scripture, that's not really, and this is hard because this takes trust in what God has said through his word, what Jesus has said, that's actually not who you are anymore, because we are spiritually alive as was intended and have entered into this whole new realm of life, eternal life. And I am now a child of God. I love that, the way you led us in that last song, Pete, because it's so true. Eternity starts now. When we enter into worship, we are entering in with the angels in heaven who are shouting and declaring and proclaiming, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's a spiritual truth. That's a reality. So if I'm a child of God, he says, put to death and take off the things that were part of your human nature. He's asking us to put those aside because he's actually saying that's not who you are anymore. So it's not a case of you need to do this and you need to do that and you mustn't do this and you mustn't do that. It's a case of who am I? All right. How does that affect that? We'll get into that in a minute. I've got a really bad analogy that kind of helped me to get it a little bit. But before I show you what that analogy is, can somebody tell me what was and if you know, because I asked the youth actually what they thought of this. If any of the youth are in here, don't shout out. But if anyone else who didn't get my question this week, what was a pretty controversial transfer within the 23-24 football season? Anyone interested in football who has no? Okay. Adam, what was the one that I settled on in the group? Harry Kane. So, for those of you who don't know, like me, I'm not a massive football fan. It's one of those ones where, if it's a big tournament, I like it, when it's something that I can really get behind. But who's got the time? Who's got the time? So my bad football analogy is this. Harry Kane was born and bred Tottenham player, if I'm not mistaken. John, am I right? Was he always with Tottenham for the longest time? And then he recently got transferred to Bayern Munich last year to the tune of £80 million plus £14 million in benefits. Like, that's £14 million. Oh, by the way, here you go. There's a bit extra. So imagine now Harry Kane is just transferred to Bayern Munich, the German team, and he starts putting on his Tottenham kit. And he goes out and he starts playing against Bayern, but he's just transferred to the other team and he's wearing the kit of the old team and he's playing like he used to play for Tottenham. Like I said, it's a really bad analogy, so bear with me. The truth is this, in very simple terms. Harry Kane now has a new identity. And it's within his contract, not that we're under a contract necessarily, to start playing for the new team. To start living as if he's like, right, forget the old time, I'm now Bayern. This is who I play for, this is how I'm supposed to conduct myself. He has a new identity. So the question is for us is, who am I now? Who am I? I am not what I once was. This is the truth of it. I'm not who I used to be. So my sin issue or my conduct issue is not a matter of you must do better. How dare you act in such a way? Now, don't get me wrong. There's times where I mess up and the Lord is definitely putting a rebuke on my heart and saying, come on, Tim. But it's with love, definitely. And it's definitely with a way that as a father would to a son, as I would do to my daughter. Because these are destructive things. Let's not forget that sin is sin because it's destructive. First of all, it hinders and hampers our relationship with God. Second of all, it hampers and hinders and destroys our relationships with those around us. And it's harmful to us. It's not healthy. And they have some very lasting effects. But those of us who find ourselves in this daily struggle, and some of you might have an outward morality that is better than others. Some of you might have an outward morality that is, well, it's obvious sometimes when some people are self-destructive, self-sabotaging behaviors, maybe things like that. But Paul does say, do not lie to one another. This is why. Since you have taken off the old self with its practices, it's not who you are anymore. That's not your life anymore. Put that kit away because you're playing for a different team. Now, this is difficult today, I think. It's not an excuse, but it is difficult when we are being bombarded left and right by images, ideas, themes, ideologies, music. And the biggest one, which I think is just consuming, even adults of my age, is social media. I'm not against it, but when it is all consuming and it just, I think the addictive nature of it is quite strong. When you find these constant, I'm checking every 5 seconds, oh, new update, new notification, and it becomes a part of who we are, an extension of our limbs, so to speak. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we can't, we live here, right? I'm not saying, oh, now you've got to be Mr. Spiritual and not do anything of this. No, I love a good movie. I love a good TV series. I love some excellent music out there. But am I allowing those things to define me? Am I allowing those things to constantly fill my mind, to influence my conduct and steer me in a direction away from God? And this is, I think, the thing I find it is. Is that my life? Is that what makes up my life? Is what I consume? Is that what's informing my mind? Andy's favorite verse, I believe, is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. In verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the question there is now, okay, we've settled on our identity. We are in Christ. We belong to him. We've settled on the fact that there are things that we are to put off and there are things that we are to walk in and put on. Then the question is then, how? And I think that's the struggle is, okay, I can acknowledge that and I can understand that. I accept that. I want to do that. Oh, here I am again confronted with the fact that I'm not perfect. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not to mix up too many analogies, but imagine if you had two dogs. You're not dogs, I'm not saying that. But these were your natures, your old nature, the old you, before you knew Christ, lived for what made you feel good, what entertained you, what made you feel good about yourself, maybe even just on a temporary level. And then you have the other, which is the new self, which is you in Christ, which is I am orientated now toward the maker of all things, and my life is towards him. Whichever one you feed more is the one that is going to be strongest. I found that in my own life. I think if you were to sit down and talk with many people here, when I'm in fellowship or when you're in fellowship, I make sure I include myself in here because I'm certainly not preaching at you. This sermon has hit me this week in such a way that I'm like, Lord, how can I preach this? So I'm with you. I'm preaching to myself. I know when I'm in fellowship, and I say this quite often, when I'm in fellowship, when I'm in prayer, when I'm in the Word, when I'm surrounded by the things of God, it's a joy to walk in obedience to him. It really is. And it's not easy, but it's a blessing, and it's not a burden. I know that when I'm consumed by the things that just make me feel good or entertain me, or I'm neglecting that time at the foot of Jesus. What was it that Jesus said to Martha when Mary was at his feet? This is one thing that is needful for her, because Martha was busy doing stuff and she saw her sister over there and she wasn't doing the stuff, right? And she said, Jesus, tell Mary to come on, give me a hand. And Jesus says, no, she's doing what's needful for her and that will not be taken away from her. And so in the busyness of everything, when I'm not in that place, I know that I struggle. And I'm pretty sure that many of you do too. Whichever of these wonderful, lovely Dalmatians we feed is the one that's going to have the upper hand in our lives. It's not because it's legalistic. Have you read your Bible today? Have you been to prayer meeting? No, it's not. It's because I am in Christ and I want to walk in line with the team that I have now eternally switched over to. And we will find ourselves clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. Because I believe it's a gift from God. I believe it comes from him. I believe it's spiritual in nature. And that way I can't say, look how great I am. Look what I've done. Oh, I'm so compassionate and generous and I'm so humble. I can't. Because it comes from him. And how do I get it? By spending time with him and spending time with his people. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against somebody, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on, clothe yourself in love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So what kit are you wearing? Because if you have been raised with Christ, that identity doesn't change. You're born again. But what kit are you wearing today, this week? Because he's asking us to clothe ourselves in the righteousness that comes from Christ, because that's the team we belong to. And this is what I love. Whether you feel like it or not, that doesn't change. You don't have to feel particularly worthy today to be worthy. You don't have to feel particularly righteous today to know that you have been made righteous and that you can walk in righteousness, because you've been raised with Jesus and you have trusted him for your salvation. We've been called the children of God. And our identity as individuals and as a collective group is in Christ. And it's okay to get it wrong. It's okay to not get this perfectly right, because we're standing on a sure foundation that doesn't change. We're standing on a solid rock that is the love of God, that is the blood of Jesus Christ. But am I going to live like that? Am I going to walk like that and talk like that? Lord, I messed up this week. I wasn't living like I was playing for your team. All right, come on. Let's put that on then. Let's walk in that then. Come on, let's get changed and let's put that off and let's put this on. And we walk in him. The metamorphosis has already taken place. We are changed spiritually. And praise the Lord, we've been changed eternally, forever. We belong to him. So I encourage you, tonight we have the School of Discipleship. And Andy's going to be talking about why or what it means to be born again and why we must be born again. And I think this is for believers and non-believers, why it's important that this term born again is important to us. So if you want to go dig into that tonight and this permanent change that's happened through Christ, come along tonight, 6:30 in here. And you get to say, hey, oh, that doesn't make sense, or I don't understand that. It's just a great time. So in closing, let's read this. Well, I'll read it, and you can read along with me if you want. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, as the worship band are going to come up, we're just going to pray.